Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
Saying that we should ban the niqab and we should dictate what happens in mosque, and, you know, basically go against Islam, would you have enough faith in the democratic process to accept this?
Well, we'll have to go with those two questions. Jazakallah khair, keep listening. Respond.
Yeah, I think the experience is the Muslim MPs that we have today. If you go up to them or the Muslim councillors and ask them blatant questions, do you believe in unity of the Muslim Ummah, do you believe in Khilaf in the Muslim world or Sharia or Hadood within the Muslim world, they won't, maybe in the back rooms quietly they may say yes, but they'll never come out openly and make that statement. We've seen people who have become very, you know,
politically correct.
That's right, and this is the problem, is that they have to conform to the dominant political culture and the dominant political attitudes in order to engage within that political process. This is the problem. And the problem then becomes that rather than empowering the Islamic voice and the Muslim community, we actually disempower us, because we're not like the blacks or the civil rights movement. We're not an ethnic group. What distinguishes the Muslims are the values that we hold on to, the choices, the ideas, the beliefs. And these ideas and beliefs, we believe, are solutions to our problems as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you mentioned earlier about creating change and making a difference within the community, within society. I believe that. I believe we need to engage within wider society. I believe we also need to engage amongst the MPs. But we have to engage with our fixed principles, our Islamic principles, and looking to Islam to solve some of these problems that we face.
Can't argue with that. Let's take this call. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum, brother. I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name.
Abdul Fattah.
Brother Abdul from Middlesbrough. Yes, Brother Abdul, tell me, are you a no or a yes?
I am a no, but I have 3 points, if you'll allow me.
Okay, those make points very quickly, brother. Go ahead.
Inshallah. The first point is, I think we although we have been discussing, you know, whether things can actually change or not, whether we vote and so on and so forth, like a previous caller mentioned, it's actually the real issue that we should be discussing is the Islamic permissibility, whether we actually can or cannot, Islamically speaking. And there are many ayat that have already been presented via callers. More so than anything, it's وَلَا يُشْرِكُ بِحُكْمِهِ أَحَدًا, i.e. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not share in the ruling and the legislation with anyone else. That's point number one. Point number two, what's happened is, like the brother on the right, I'm sorry, I didn't catch his name. People essentially see voting as their solution because that's what the system has done to their minds. Their minds have essentially been colonized to the point that all they see is the box that they live in, i.e. the system. So the system restricts naturally, as it always does, whichever system that you actually reside in, it's going to restrict your movements if you live within that. But what people need to realize is they are infinitely more productive outside of the system. Lastly, and very shortly, the brother Talha from, I think it was MCB, when he mentioned that protesters across the Muslim world were dying for democracy and voting and et cetera, you know, people are actually dying and being slaughtered and people are being buried alive, and their final words are, La ilaha illallah, and we have no one but you, O Allah. And as someone from Bilad al-Sham, it really hurt to know that someone is actually in the UK calling for democracy on behalf of the Muslims of Bilad al-Sham who are dying for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. And it really needs to be rectified from that individual's perspective, and more so a general presentation of what Bilad al-Sham and the people of al-Sham are actually calling for.
Jazakallah khair, brother. I'm sorry to cut you short. We're shorted of time more than anything yet. Your points are taken. Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much. I need you to respond to that.
Yeah, I think my point, I think it was misunderstood before. Okay. What I said was, if you want to implement changes within the political system of this country, you need to vote. As my exact statement was, as long as it doesn't compromise Islam.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
I mean,
course.
Islamic moral values and beliefs, they're significant, they're imperative, they're important. Mm. But at the same time, if we need to communicate those values and we need to implement some changes within the political system of UK or wherever we are living, we need to take some drastic actions.
You know, we're taxpayers. We use the hospitals, we use the schools, we utilize the roads. Let's take this caller. Just when I thought I was going to get my soapbox, 2 minutes. Jazakallah. Salaam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salaam wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum.
Can I make some comments, please, sister?
Yes, brother. Sorry, do you want to state your name first?
Yeah, my name is Maulud. I'm calling from London.
Salaam alaikum, brother. Is that a no or a yes?
It's a definite no.
Definite no. Now tell me why very quickly.
The reason why it's, you know, there's always, every time the election comes, we find that the Muslims are forced to, forced to talk about, you know, participating in the political system. But what happens during all the other time, you know, the whole 4 years goes by, you don't see anyone talking about that. That's one point. The other point is that so far we have seen the Muslim talk about, you know, having pro-Muslim MPs. And we have seen people chose Al Gore over Bush, and we've seen what Al Gore done to, what Bush has done, they chose Bush over Al Gore and what Bush has done to Iraq and Afghanistan. And we also seen what Tony Blair has done as well. And so far, all the Muslim MPs that has been in Parliament, they have yet, any one of them actually have yet to do, you know, to do anything that is pro-Islam or pro-Muslim. And I think as the previous caller so far already mentioned, I mean, they mentioned so many ayahs regarding how it is completely un-Islamic for a Muslim to participate in a political system where he is actually giving his wakala, his consent on behalf of him for the people to make legislation on behalf of him, which is completely contrary to Islam. So those are the points that I really want to make.
Thank you very much. Jazakallah khair for your contribution.
I think I said something at the beginning of this program in terms of the three mainstream political parties not winning in Bradford. Mm-hmm. We need to choose our leaders, mm-hmm. who can implement changes, who can...
Well, they chose Galloway, didn't
Islamic
they?
Values. Yeah. George Galloway is an example.
Yes.
I mean, we need to find the right people. I mean, it's not easy, but it's a step towards...
Keeps coming back to leadership. It keeps coming back to leadership. And I think we really need to discuss, do we have strong leadership? Do we have those charismatic figures who can take us forward?
I think if... all they do is succumb to the political process, and we won't have leadership, we'll have followers. In order to have leadership, you need to have independent political will, which basically means having your own identity.
You're going to have to start the party. Assalamu alaikum, Sayyida from Accrington. Are you well, sister?
Assalamu alaikum, salam. Yes,
I thought we were losing you.
I know, the phone was engaged tonight, so I couldn't get through.
Right, first I want to know, is it a yes or a no?
It's a definite yes.
Definite yes.
Yes,
there you are, definite yes.
I've just got
why do you think we should vote?
Just a couple of comments to make, really. I'll keep it short this time. I know people are trying to ring in. I think we're quite lucky enough to have Muslim MPs at a local level that I can only speak from, working within our communities. I mean, they represent the Muslims. If they're Muslim MPs in their own communities, they are representing the Muslims of that community. And I think what they need to do more, I mean, we always talk about leadership. They are there as leaders in that community to take things forward. And I think what they need to do is just to try to connect more within the Muslims, within the community, to fulfil the needs of their Muslims, and also to raise awareness and issues which affect us as Muslims, and to take them forward to the hierarchy, because they are there as leadership, as leaders, taking their leadership forward and taking our problems with them to find solutions. Because, like nowadays, when you vote, you vote for Labour or you vote for the Liberal Democrats or the Conservative, but at a local level, each individual who might think twice about voting has to keep thinking, what can I do from my level, from my point of view? I may be nobody in this whole political system, but what can I do that can make a tiny bit of difference? And what I can do is go and make my vote to my local leader, and if it is a Muslim leader, then they should feel quite proud of that, because the Muslim leader, inshallah, should have morals that Islam teaches them and to help the Muslim community go forward, I think.
Thank you, Saeeda, as always. Always a pleasure. Jazakallah khair. I'm sorry I did cut you off there, but you were talking about that we need leadership.
We need leadership. I mean, we need the right leaders. I mean, unless...
But where are they going to... where are you going to get these leaders from?
I mean, we need to find them.
But where?
It's not going to be an easy process. Yeah. If you need to implement change, any kind of change, I mean, Brother Sharif and also some of the callers did say that to implement changes, there has to be drastic kind of actions. Sometimes it can be right in terms of poll tax or whatever. It's a difficult process, but we need to start that process. Unless that process is started, we are not going to implement anything.
Sister from Manchester. Assalamu alaikum, sister.
Wa alaikum, sir.
Yes, sister. Tell me, are you a yes or a no?
One of my cousins is standing for elections, but I'm still a no. And I just wanted to make a few points that, you know, the reason why I wouldn't vote and I wouldn't advocate it is simply because of all the reasons that have been mentioned. Okay. Like, I don't think it's compatible with Islam. But the reason why I phoned in was to speak to Brother Fawad in particular, because, I mean, I was quite pleasantly surprised, because unlike people who come in and advocate voting, this brother seems quite, you know, sincere, in the sense that I think that he genuinely thinks he's doing Islam some good. So just some advice to him that, you know, we should really think back at our actions, because pragmatism is not from Islam. So although he may think he's doing some good for the Muslim community, he needs to think global. How is he, by standing for elections or helping someone stand in elections, helping our brothers and sisters in Syria? Because at the end of the day, when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment, that is what we're going to be accounted for, what we did for our global ummah, not what we did for George Galloway's party or what we did for David Cameron's government. So I think, sincerely, my advice to the brother would be that really research Islam, because when you look at Islam, you know, either you submit to Allah or you bow to other ideologies. And
thank you,
can't
sister.
Have a mix.
Thank you so much, sister. We get the gist of it. We're very grateful to you. Jazakallah khair, and that was a very interesting point you've raised. We seem to be keep coming back to this philosophy somewhere, unless I've got it quite wrong, that if we participate, we somehow are going to not live up to the high standard of our faith. Mm. I just wondered whether we could get somebody who is not only living up to the high expectation, but also delivering. But what you're saying is that we have to be actually tied up with the manifesto, tied up with the policies.
I will quote the Jack Straw, who was obviously MP of Blackburn, where
he
we're in today.
Is.
Yeah, he's still the MP. He was Justice Minister, he was in the Cabinet, he was Foreign Minister. He's a high-level person. And in 2002, he wrote an article about how to create a European version of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And the article is written in the Prospect magazine
in
2002.
I'm going to come back to you. We're going to take this call. This call from Birmingham. Imran from Birmingham. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Yes, Brother Imran, what do you have to say? Are you a yes or a no?
Oh, definitely no. I haven't got 5 minutes to spare.
Definitely no. Okay. You're the last caller, so would you just make it very, very quick and tell me why and what's
Inshallah, I'll be quick as possible. I mean, what I'm going to say has been already said by the previous callers. Specifically, I mean, as Muslims, we are looking for that change and we want that change, but we're looking at individuals like George Galloway, who, you know, to be the saviours of the Muslims in this country. I'll be blatantly honest, these people are nothing but vote mongers. They only want the votes from the Muslim community. They don't have anything, you know, they don't want anything apart from the votes from the Muslims. Now, again, I'll be blatantly honest when I say this. As Muslims, we want Sharia, okay? And more specifically, we want the re-implementation of Islam. Specific word I want to use is Khilafah in our own Muslim lands, where you see every day in Syria, Muslims are dying and their neighbors, the Muslim neighbors, they're doing nothing. They're ignoring the plea of our brothers and sisters of the Muslims of Syria. Now, again, the Salahuddin, the armies consist of the sons of Salahuddin, and they want to get out there and help our brothers and sisters in Syria. But what is stopping them is the puppets that have been placed in from the Western masters, and well, we see nothing happening. So again,
thank you for your call from Birmingham, Brother Imran. Jazakallah khair.
If I could just finish off that.
Please
quote,
do. Yeah. We've got a few minutes left.
So Jack Straw, he said, very
literally 30
quote,
seconds.
He said, Democrats, for example, can never accept that religious injunction takes precedence over any temporal law. So he's saying that you can't, if you engage in the political process, you're Democrat, you can't accept Sharia or religious law or Allah's law to be higher than any temporal man-made law. And he goes, to do so would threaten the very basis of democratic society. Quite simply, this is the central tenet of democratic political practice, is what he said. So the problem is that when we do engage, we engage in that mindset with the values where temporal, secular,
call, but
non-Islamic
basically,
laws.
If we engage with the political system, we are what Sharif is saying is we are compromising because we have to adapt, we have to take into consideration the policies, but also their mandate. Go against it, you're not part of the party, full stop. What Fawad is saying is that every drop washes the stone. Let's make the change. Let's live those high standards. This was never a competition. What we're saying is that can we make a difference? From where I'm standing as an individual, I believe at a personal level, we make that difference. Tomorrow is a big day. It's your choice. The community platform was always about engaging and bringing relevant conversation to the table. What you do tomorrow is an individual responsibility. One thing is absolutely certain, that there has to be a conversation on leadership. There is weak leadership, both political and religious, hence the divisions within communities. We will have to tackle that, and community platform, Ummah, will definitely tackle. Jazakallah khair for watching. Look after yourself. Whatever you do tomorrow, we would be very interested to see the results, of course. Look after yourself and your neighbor, whoever they may be. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.